Hello, humans. Do you recognize that noise? If so, you are either living in Austin, Texas, or you just went to the South by Southwest. The birds are making that noise every evening in the streets in Austin before the humans take over. I tried really hard to find out what they are called, but even my AI app that usually recognizes every bird pretty good was not able to tell me the name. If you know the name of these birds, feel free to send me an email. I would be more than happy to know what they are called. Let's get this started with the South by Southwest edition of this lovely podcast.
This is the Iliac Suite, a podcast on AI-driven music. Join me as we dive into the ever-evolving world of AI-generated music, where algorithms become the composers and machines become the virtuosos. Yes, this music and text was written by a computer, and I am not real, but
I am, and my name is Dennis Kastrup. So it's over. This year's edition of the South by Southwest. And what stays? Probably this moment.
It's digital culture makers. And I think if you look out into this room, you can tell that AI is a culture.
Artificial intelligence is the present. It's here. Should be an AI thinker. You know your business is going to be disrupted, and you need to stop resisting. Start learning.
You're worried about digital transformation.
This digital divide is opening, and there's a completely different approach that could be very human.
I actually believe that AI fundamentally makes us more human.
The video emerged on social media of the audience loudly booing a conference sizzle reel that featured several industry leaders speaking positively about AI. I was not there. It made the big news. First time I saw it, I thought, well, you are right. I don't agree with all of the positivity around AI. Not at all. We are probably heading towards a society where it will be possible to control the people with artificial intelligence because we will not be able to decide what is real and what is fake anymore. I seriously think it is the biggest threat for humanity right now. Don't get me wrong, not the AI is the problem. The humans are the problem. They will use it. We are the problem. If humans don't change, the AI will not change us. And when Peter Deng of OpenAI says in the video, AI will make us more human, I cannot more agree. But we should stop thinking being human is a good thing. Look at us, what have we done throughout history so far? Humans can be gentle, yes, and take care of each other. That is what in our definition human means. But humanity starts wars, destroys the planet, and lets people starve while others have so much food. That is human, and yes, if an AI makes us more human, then it will unfortunately be cruel. So let's start with us as humans to change before we blame AI. So how do I find a bridge now to music and AI? No, I just make a deep cut. There's no bridge. I believe that with the help of AI in music, though, we will create beautiful art. And I also believe that there is enough money out there that all the musicians can make a living from that. But as we are human, and therefore also cruel and unjust, it is right now not well distributed. It is the moment right now to change that. The money goes to the AI companies that steal the creativity of artists. If there is one major problem to solve these days, it is exactly that. Pay the musicians and let them also play with AI. The solution is very complicated, very complex, but I'm sure one day we will find a good solution. And always remember, human art will never die. This is for sure. Humanity will make always beautiful art. AI will just be a part of it. That's my little speech for today. Coming back to the South by Southwest, I was there for 1 week and talked to some AI music players. I went to see some panels and experienced some innovation, hopefully. I collected the interviews and made a little recap out of that. Generative AI is everywhere, and I have also talked about it here in the podcast many times. At the South by Southwest, there were also some companies in that field that were trying to get the attention of the visitors with their generative AI. I did not feel they were presenting anything new, I have to say. I thought they were trying to enter the space where they see a lot of money to make. For example, in the expo, I found Posa Labs.
My name is Hee-Tech Lim, and I work for Posa Labs, a music AI generating startup in Korea. We generate music, and we're a company that focuses on creating instrumental tracks for content creators and people who are in need of copyright-free music. We have four AI vocalists. That technology is not actually created by Posa Labs. It's the technology by a partner company that we have back in Korea as well. So they focus on AI vocal synthesis and like TTS, SVS and whatnot. So mostly on vocal, and we do the instrumental part. So there are two methods of creating music. One is if you have a song that you would like to make similarly, you can upload that music file if you have it, if you have obtained it legally, and the AI will not be using that to train this model, but it will only extract certain metadata to send it to the model, and the model will use that to create all the tracks from scratch. And the other is you could just pick on a template. We call it templates. Basically, you just pick a genre and a mood, and then from there, the model will create the song for you. Currently, Live is in the open beta phase, and we will be closing that open beta phase and officially launching mid-April. From then, users will be charged, will be using tokens to create the songs, and the tokens aren't free. You have to pay to use the tokens, and there will be a certain license purchasing fee per song if you like that song.
My question these days when it comes to generative AI is always, what data sets did they use? Did they treat the musicians fairly? Did they steal creativity? Chai-Tae Klim says they are working on that in-house.
Our data set come from, internally we have a proprietary in-house developed data set. So we have a team of around 30 producers and artists who create the data sets and help the engineers actually design the model itself, and so that's where the data set comes from. Our model creates music samples for each individual track and then each individual song form, and then we put it all together in the very end. So the musicians and the artists, in-house art musicians, they are creating music samples that will help the model be able to create those samples.
Of course, we have to believe them because I have not seen the data set. And this is what happens a lot of times with data sets. We don't know what's in there. But if you want to be sure and generate ethically fair trained music with an AI, you can use Soundful. I talked about them the last time here in the podcast. The music in this episode is, by the way, generated by Soundful. They are part of Fairly Trained, a platform that gives away licenses to AI models that only use datasets in which the music is in there with the consent of the artist. I support that. one of the oldest use of AI in music is as a tool of production indoors, digital audio workstations. I remember Lander as being the first one to use artificial intelligence to get a final output of a song that sounds great, so mastering. As time passes by and computers get faster, other companies joined in that field. At the South by Southwest, I was sitting on a terrace, enjoying my drink in the sun when I met
Christian Schultz, born and raised in Norway. I'm the CEO and co-founder of Master Channel, one of the leading AI mastering and audio enhancement companies in the music industry. We use a concept called reinforcement learning, where we have trained the system with the knowledge from different engineers, from different producers, and we encode their expertise into mathematical equations. So when you upload a song, we create a couple of thousand different versions, and then the system gives it a reward or a penalty based on the decision it makes. So it's like, it's similar to how you train a child to walk, that it has to try to walk and then fall down and try to walk and fall down, and eventually it managed to walk. That is the same process when you run through a song. It's not generative AI, or it's more about preserving the originality in the song, but making sure that it sounds as good as possible, regardless of where the song is being played, and also what streaming platform is being played on. So it has like the right quality standards needed. So the quality standard can be that it doesn't peak when you play it in a club, that the bass don't sound muffling if you play it in your car, and all of those things. So it doesn't really like be, it's not A and B, but it's more about looking at the whole song individually and then working on it. It's similar to how a mastering engineer would do it, but just fully automatic.
So Master Channel does the mastering for you. And one interesting feature is you can use the presets of an engineer called Wes Clark. He has done pop, dance, urban songs, and has mixed records for Beyoncé, Sam Smith, Rudimental, Ed Sheeran, and Sean Paul, just to name a few.
What we also have is, because we cloned a Grammy Award winning engineer, so we have his take on what is a good sound, similar to how we have our own AI mastering. We have also cloned his sounds of whenever a song is being uploaded. His kind of style or mojo is being applied to that song.
Interesting thought that you can pay for a clone of an engineer to do the work in their style, I think. So check out Master Channel if you're into music production. Let's jump to another continent and have a look at K-pop bands. In the expo of the South by Southwest, I found an interesting booth of the HYBE Corporation, the South Korean company behind all that K-pop music, well, not all, but a lot, which has taken the music world in the last years. For example, BTS, the K-pop sensation. The problem for them, their stars have so many fans from all over the world who do not understand them. Of course, they would love to talk to them in their language. In order to speak to their fans and connect better, HYBE has started an AI that translates the voice of the singers in different languages.
I'm Sebum Tak from HYBE company. So I'm here for say our AI dub contents in South by. Actually, South by is the first time for our company to exhibit some kind of IT technology. And this content is a concert film. So it's originally English version of this concert because Tomorrow by Together performed in LA last year. So we filmed it and we made that their normal voice, normal meant, make AI version in Spanish. So the technology theme is we extract artist's original voice from original video, and then we make that into voice gene, and then we dubbed with special voice actor in Spanish, and then the both of them mix together and integrate, and then we made Spanish version AI.content.
So they took the English words and a Spanish-speaking person says the same thing in Spanish, which is then changed to the original voice of the member of the group. But why did they choose these two languages and not the original Korean?
The mouse working? when they speak, the mouth is similar to English and Spanish, but Korean is very different when they speak. The mouth working is not the same. So we prefer English make English into Spanish. We do that. This AI dub, it's for fans. Fan can enjoy our artist content more lively and that's why we do. So when they sing, we don't use this technology because fans like listen to original voice singing.
Actually, I find that information interesting. We have the technology now to overdub voices in different languages. Also singing, it's working, yes. I mean, we can see it in voice cloning. It's going good, I think. But Hype decided not to do that because the original is still more loved, original and better. Which is the proof that whatever happens with AI and music in the future, you cannot beat the original, the real thing, I guess. And this is good news for humans. One subject that was present in a lot of panels during the South by Southwest was also the question about copyrights in artificial intelligence. I have talked about this many times before here in the podcast, and I was very happy to see the panel AI Copyright, 471 billion melodies thwarting human creativity, with Damien Real, who is a lawyer, coder and technologist. He is the person behind All the Music, a fascinating project. I talked to him.
I was hired by Facebook to investigate Cambridge Analytica. So I spent a 14-hour day at Facebook. And during the evening, when I went back to the hotel lounge, I said to a buddy who is also one of the best programmers I've ever met, his name is Noah, I said, Noah, you know how we can brute force a password by going AAA, AAB, AAC? He said, yeah. I said, what if we could do that with music? What if we could go da-da-da-do, da-da-da-re, da-da-da-me, da-da-da-fa, until we mathematically exhaust every melody that's ever been and every melody that ever can be? He said, oh, yeah. Let's do that. So that night we had finished a proof of concept where we created about 3,000 melodies. And at this point, now sitting here in 2024, we have now generated about 471 billion melodies with a B. And that is arguably, we've mathematically exhausted every melody that's ever been and every melody that ever can be.
What fascinates me about this project, I have thought about this many times, that one day all the melodies of the world must have been written somewhere on this planet, and Daniel just told an AI to do it. Fascinating. With this knowledge, we started talking about copyrights in an era of AI, of course. And he, as a lawyer, is a specialist in this. In that context, check also out his TED Talk. I highly recommend it.
We as musicians should fight for what is ours. That is the most important aspect of it. But really the question that we should ask ourselves is, what is truly ours that is no one else's? And then that's thing number one. And thing number two is, what is the communal collective that we're all drawing from? We're all drawing from the same wellspring of potential melodies. We're all drawing from the wellspring of potential chords. So we, for decades, have never been able to copyright a chord structure. We just can't, because there are only so many chords. You also can't copyright a drum beat. We just can't, because there are only so many drum beats. So I wonder if we also would say, okay, maybe melodies are amongst that. Maybe we cannot copyright a melody because there are only so many melodies in the world. So that's so if we now set that aside and we say, okay, now if an AI is training on my music, what is original to me and also that is a monopoly to me, that is cannot be a monopoly to anyone else, and maybe a melody is not original to me. The way that large language models work is they extract the ideas of what is happening. So they extract in you think about two dimensions, the x-axis and the y-axis, it's plotted on two dimensions. And then you add a third dimension, the z-axis, and then now you have 3D. And now think about 4D, and you can't, because it's impossible for our brains to think about 4D. All right, now think about 12,000D, and that's the number of vector spaces that the training is happening on. So within those 12,000 dimensions is Bob Dylan-ness, and Ernest Hemingway-ness, and Pablo Picasso-ness. So the ideas of those songwriters and those artists and those writers, they're all somewhere in 12,000 dimensional vector space. So when then I say, write a song in the style of Bob Dylan, it's going to that. And think about if Bob Dylan could then sue you over someone writing a song, a human writing a song in Bob Dylan. And he couldn't, obviously, because if he could sue someone for singing in the style of Bob Dylan, every singer-songwriter since the 1970s could be sued. So really, the question is then, if he can't sue a human over that, can he sue then a machine for doing the same thing, taking the idea of Bob Dylan-ness and then putting in the output?
And this question remains until now unsolved, because
it's too complicated and also very expensive. To be able to hire a lawyer is very expensive. So if I'm a label that's thinking about suing, do I pay $1 million to be able to get back $20,000 or $50,000? And so, and similarly, if I'm a musician, I'm more likely to get sued by a label than I am to sue someone else over my song. So really, if I'm an artist, copyright is doing me more harm than it is good, because I have a target on my back for every new song that I have, because if I happen to make it big, a label then will say, now this is making enough money that it's worthwhile to sue over. So really, is copyright protecting artists or harming artists? And I would argue maybe it's not protecting us as much as we think.
This interview had an interesting twist in the end. Is copyright protecting artists or harming artists? What would you say? You can write me to mail@denniskastrup.com. I am curious to know what you think about that. My opinion is, it is definitely harming art in these days of artificial intelligence, because it is too complicated. I think that we need a new copyright law that regulates things differently. The old one just does not fit in our modern times. And if I could make a bet, in 20 years from now, just to be safe, I say 20 years, the law will be different. So, what do we do with all of this right now? AI is here, and it will stay, or as one panel at the South by Southwest put it, the new normal AI in music creation, so it's normal to use it. Here is an excerpt of that discussion with Danny DiCiaccio from Splice, Dia Elal from Soundful, who was a guest on my podcast the last time, and Evan Bogart from Seeker Music. Exactly in that order they will speak. They all respond to the question of Ethan Millman from the Rolling Stone.
What excites the three of you about, like, I mean, beyond, like, as far as what's coming up soon, like, something that you find very promising or exciting about, you know, your tech and what artists are going to be able to do?
What comes to mind for me are two things. One is mobile. I think mobile is going to be a revolution, and I think music tech has not done a very good job at committing to mobile in the last number of years. There have been, like, some apps that got close. GarageBand had a cool iteration, Machine had a cool iteration, but no one really did it really, really well. And what mobile is going to give us are different points of view across the world. There's, like, I think I saw a stat recently that there's, like, more smartphones than people. Like, they are ubiquitous at this point. So having it in a mobile capacity is going to unlock different points of view, more diverse opinions, more, like, cognitive profiles in music. That's really exciting to me. The other thing I think about is, and that I'm excited about, but that also heartens me with this conversation, is that I think people are getting more and more excited about things like like the provenance of certain sounds, the paratext, like the things that are going on outside of the sound, like the person that made it, how they made it, when they made it, what else have they done? What's their lived experience that brought that to the table? I think, like, surprisingly, I see people asking those questions and wanting to know about that.
Dia? I think what excites me the most is really figuring out a way in an ethical way to work with the artists and producers, not just to bring them closer to the fans, but also to give them a utility to use in their camps, to give them a utility to use in other avenues like gaming, Web3, etc., that they haven't been, you know, that they just don't have the bandwidth to actually go in and do. But now we just gave them that opportunity. The second part is really how it is exciting and it is terrifying about how we can, every creator will become a super creator, meaning every creator will become a music producer, a songwriter, a video creator, a graphic designer. That's very exciting. But the part that scares me is how to, in while doing that, just making sure that we're making the right moves from paying the rights holders, etc.
What I will say to that is, like, if everybody's on the same level, you still have the cream that rises to the top. You still have to be great at creating in order to get the best out of it, right? Like, yes, anybody right now, forget AI, anybody right now can create anything and write and make, put something out that sounds like shit, right? And so I think even if you have these tools, you could still create something that's like low bar. Right. And you, in order to be great, I think if it becomes noise, you still need the stuff that rises through the noise. And so I think the people who are already inherently talented, who embrace it, will become the people that are the leaders in it. And I also think that the other thing that excites me is because I love what this means for the creator community and for the productivity and for the inspiration and innovation that's coming with it. Like, I think there are also really smart people who are dealing with issues such as, you know, name, image, likeness. I think that, you know, talking to the copyright office, trying to educate them on what policy should be created around this, and hopefully educating the middle class of music creators, on ways that they could get involved with AI and embrace it and not be as fearful about their careers. I mean, unfortunately, there is certain parts of music creation that can be easily replicated by somebody pressing a button. But, and I would just, you know, for me, I just try to encourage, like, how can you embrace that? Like, if you make production music, a production house, like, how can you make AI part of what you do instead of letting AI replace what you do?
The most used phrase when it comes to AI and music, and also in this podcast, make AI part of the music and don't let it replace you. I would like to finish this podcast with this quote because it is a perfect ending for this South by Southwest episode. But one thing has to be said also, unfortunately. Yes, I did feel uncomfortable with the US Army as the biggest sponsor of the festival. It just feels weird when you go through the expo and look at great innovation with colorful and funny bands and funny music and funny images, and then the booth of the US Army shows you how to destroy an enemy with the newest tech inventions. It is weird. Choose your friends wisely. That was the South by Southwest Iliac Suite Edition. Follow me, share the podcast. Until the next time, humans, take care and behave.